Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, lovely bangers. This is a bittersweet episode as it is our final episode of Banging Book Club. We were on an extended hiatus for most of 2018 with my health and everyone being busy with lots of different projects. And basically, we've decided that we love what we have achieved with Banging Book Club and we're just going to bring it to a nice end. We still have for you in this podcast episode our discussion of December's book, Feminists Don't Wear Pink and Other Lies, which we actually recorded before Christmas, but it has taken this long to get it out. And as you can see, this is why we're having to bring Banging Book Club to an end, because we're just all very busy with all of our different projects. Lena has a full-time job. Lena also has her own podcast called I'm Not Being Funny But, so you should all go and subscribe to that. It is hilarious and very insightful. And Lucy also has a podcast called The Sunday Social, which if you're super into like interesting topics and pop culture, then would recommend. And I just finished the first draft of my new book, The Hormone Diaries, which is coming out on the 13th of June. So this is why I'm only just getting around to recording this announcement intro thing, because I was writing a book, goddammit. Thank you all so much for supporting us over the years and supporting Banging Book Club, reading along with us. It has been an absolute hoot. If you feel like there is now a sex book whole void in your life, do not worry, because those are two things that I am very passionate about and I love. So I am planning on launching a new podcast soon that you'll have to keep your eyes and ears peeled for. And if you like the topics that we've discussed on Banging Book Club, you will very much like what is to come. If you feel like you will miss us, we all have YouTube channels, Twitter, Instagram, all of that good stuff. So you can follow us on whatever platform you fancy, whatever you like, pictures, tweets, videos, podcasts even. We appreciate all of you so much and hope to see you on the internet somewhere. Hope you enjoy this final episode. Hello, welcome to Banging Book Club. I'm Hannah Whitten.
I'm Lena Norms.
And I'm Lucy Moon.
This is
a bittersweet episode. First of all, we're going to be discussing December's book, mm-hmm. which was voted for by our lovely listeners and followers on Twitter. And
who we're says reading Democracy's Dead? Democracy won.
Democracy won. And actually, this book won the popular vote, like, and it won the election. It
got like over 50%. If only our country could run like the Banging Book Club, yeah, am I right?
We are reading Feminists Don't Wear Pink and Other Lies, curated by Scarlett Curtis, which you've probably heard of.
It's a banger.
It's a banger, and that's why we picked it.
Yeah.
Because all the books we read are bangers, except for some of them that we hated.
What's the opposite of a banger? Like a drooper?
Yes. Oh my God.
A softer.
No, a flaccid.
Ew.
A flaccid book. Oh, been there.
Ew.
It's like the American paperbacks, they're well floppy. Anyway, it's not.
Sorry. I do quite like the really floppy books that you can fully bend. But ladies, what have been your Banging Book Club highlights?
Oh, man.
I've just sprung this question on you. Oh, we didn't plan this.
I know.
It's like having to do a speech to somebody's wedding and then being like, I do really like them, I just have nothing to say.
So the first time we ever recorded We all decided it was a good idea to have gin, I think, or wine.
I probably started and the gin. And we lost the SD card.
Lena lost the SD card, but it's fine.
We found it.
We were so worried we'd lost the first episode, and I remember it being hilarious.
I'm guessing you found it funny. I was literally like, oh, I thought I was gaining a podcast with my friends, but actually I've lost a podcast and my friends.
But that was, how long ago was that? Was that nearly 4 years ago?
That was 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
Three full years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, I think all of them have been highlights. It's more like, do you know what? I think there is something to be said for, because I think that sometimes there's this myth of like, if you really like people, you'll just see them all the time. And I'm like, not in London.
No.
London is a weird vortex where even the people you love could somehow just not be near you.
Yeah.
So I think this has been really great just because we've actually got it in the diary all the time to see each other. And that's been...
And we have a group chat.
Yeah, we have a group chat all the time.
Oh, yeah, can we bring it back to Facebook, please?
Yeah.
You know, I find Twitter really hard to use as a talking thing.
We can do whatever now, Lucy. The rules
oh
are off.
God.
The gloves
are
off.
I'm down for that. I don't actually know. It just started on Twitter DMs, and then we just continued there.
Yeah, I don't really talk to anybody else on Twitter
I remember
DMs.
Lena being like, guys, I'm leaving Facebook. We must start a Twitter
oh,
conversation.
Oh, God, sorry, yes, because I was being dramatic.
Oh, okay, that
but
was why.
Fine.
So it's
Look,
Lena's
we've all
fault.
Changed for the better, guys.
No, I'm so down for communicating either on Facebook or WhatsApp.
I feel, we'll work it
Twitter
out.
Twitter DMs.
I've got all the faith.
We become proper old when we start communicating on WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
I find WhatsApp like the worst formatted app in the world, although I do like that it's encrypted.
Oh, okay. I've got a good question. What's been your favourite book we've read?
Oh.
And your least favourite.
Do you know what? Sorry.
No, go. You first.
Favourite to read myself was Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
Yeah.
It's a fucking masterpiece. Favourite book to discuss with you guys, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Mars. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed discussing 50 Shades. I seem to remember that was very entertaining. I really enjoyed reading and discussing, oh my goodness, what's it called? It's about all the girls. It's your banger. You really enjoy it.
All of the Girls?
How to Build a Girl?
No, All of the Girls. It's the novel. It's...
Oh, Virgin Suicide.
Virgin Suicide. Why do you say all the dead girls, Lucy?
All of the dead sisters.
All we read about is girls.
I really enjoy that conceptually, and I really enjoyed the film, and I would just like that. That it felt like that
It's your
something.
Instagram aesthetic. I think I said that in the podcast.
Yeah, it's literally
yeah, it just
like,
really got me.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what
about
my,
yours?
Yeah,
sorry, you're asking.
I'm trying
us.
To think now.
We should have guessed each other's.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You're so predictable. Hannah's will be nonfiction.
Oh,
maybe not.
What I about, feel like I've learnt a lot from the nonfiction ones, but I genuinely really loved
Sarah Bernard.
Beauty Queens this year.
Oh, yeah, you love Beauty
which
Queens.
Which was like, I just was laughing out loud listening to it.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And then my least favourite was probably... maybe Middlesex. I just found it really boring.
God, yeah that was
I didn't even get through
also,
it.
Also, I can't believe
way.
You've read two Geoffrey Eugenides books.
I can't believe you wrote Virgin Suicides and then failed to write another coherent novel
God, yeah,
for
of
his
course
whole
it's
fucking
the same
life.
Same guy.
He also writes a book called The Marriage Plot, which I've tried to read twice.
One hit wonder.
And I've read some really shit books. Anyway. Not
I don't know, shall we leave that
well,
in?
I'm coming all bitchy.
Is he alive still?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sorry, Geoffrey. If you're listening, it's not personal.
I don't think he's
okay. You never know. Okay. Yeah, I guess this one isn't about him.
No, this one is
about you,
segue. So. Feminists don't wear pink and other lies.
It's a book of collected essays and poems from various notable women.
And it's about feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. And all of the proceeds go to Girl Up, which is a global organisation that create Girl Up clubs in schools and communities to help empower
girls.
Yeah.
So, good cause.
Yeah.
We're into it.
I bought it twice. How did everyone consume it?
Physical.
In book form.
Yeah, physical copy.
Cool. I listened to the audiobook, and which was read by 4 people, and then every so often they get one of the contributors to read their thing.
Yeah,
but
that's cool.
It like alternated between four readers. What are they called? Voice actors?
Yeah.
And one of them was Scarlett Curtis, the editor.
Yeah. Mm. Sound reviews. Silence.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Because it's
this
like,
book.
How do you sound review a collection of essays?
I think mine is like my general sound review is.
My sound review is. Oh.
Ooh, very
that's
musical.
Nice. That's not what I went in to do, and then it just ended up like that.
Somehow.
I think mine is. Yay.
although I feel like if I was 15, maybe 13, I'd be like, oh,
yeah, yeah,
that would be my sound review. Because, and I know that, and I think that's fine. Both things can be true.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to mention Girl Up, because that organisation is aimed at teens.
Mm,
and yeah, so the people that this book is helping, I kind of see them as the audience for this book.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's definitely like an introduction to complex feminism.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, it's one up from like, men and women should be equal. Yeah. It's like, and yeah, also all of these complex problems.
And all of these, yeah, other issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Scarlett mentions in her introduction about how, like, there's a lot of academia out there, like gender theory, queer theory,
mm,
and that's not what this book is. This book is women just, like, telling their stories.
Yeah, yeah. Try and get a broader perspective of what feminism means to people.
Yeah, yeah. And it touches on everything. Like, it's got, like, periods in there, it's got like equal pay, it's got like
intersectional feminism,
it's got FGM,
trans
it's
rights, got,
yeah, it covers like all bases.
Yeah.
So it does mean like sometimes tonally you're a bit like, oh my god, I'm really sad now, and then like, oh my god, I'm really happy. Like,
yeah.
but that's kind of like what feminism is to me anyway, is like sometimes being like super angry and sad and like frustrated at the world, and then other times being like, yeah, I'm a woman, women rock, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, how do you manage those emotions?
It's also just kind of like, I was like, a lot of the reviews and like coverage I've seen of it is just kind of like, feminism for Gen Z, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's not,
we're not the Gen Z generation. No, we're Gen Y.
Which one's Gen Z?
They're like,
they're below millennials.
You're like, I'm you're Gen on Z. The cusp.
Yeah. She's... Yeah, I'm 1995 is like properly the cusp of millennial Gen Z. Yeah.
Oh my god, Lucy, tell me how. Tell us about your Gen Z.
I really mean it when I say I'm on the brink.
Yeah, we're fully Gen Y millennials, and you're on the brink of Gen Y and Gen Z.
Edge of glory.
See, my cousins are that age. My cousins are like 17 to 19. I don't know what they like. What are they into? Like,
what's happening?
I just got recently gifted a whole bunch of Zoella products, and some of them I'm not going to use. And I'm like, can I give them to them to 18-year-olds like Zoella? I don't know. Can I give it to them at
it's
Christmas?
Uncharted territory.
Oh, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So Zoella's in this book, actually.
Yeah.
She is. I actually really enjoyed her essay.
I just love any time Zoe talks about business.
Yes.
Because I want to hear everything that she
but she never tells you everything though, because I feel like I've listened to several interviews with her now and I'm still like,
really?
I am none the wiser as to how you run your business, and I think that's what you meant to do. Like,
I like how why anger would she that do... comes through yeah. with this, like, she's clearly been taken advantage of quite a lot, and I think you can feel that in her essay.
Yeah, because she was like on like the front lines is a very not the correct way to describe her experience, but like she was on the brink of like all of that influencer negotiating with the rest of the world.
A new industry, completely new industry. And she helped establish it.
Yeah, definitely.
And
she drew boundaries for everybody.
This does put me on one thing I would like to mention about this book, which is I liked Zoe's perspective because I found it refreshing relative to some of the others, because I found that a lot of people were from a similar middle class British background.
Zoe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised when her essay didn't reflect the same format, the same wording, structures, all of those other essays. I found it, I don't want to say repetitive, because that's not true. Everyone's experience is different.
Mm.
But there was a lot of overlap, I think, in those experiences, just because we are British. Like, a lot of the people I'd imagine Scarlett Curtis knows were British millennial or Gen X women.
But that being said, there is like a huge diverse range of women in this book.
Oh, there like, are. No, 100%. But I feel like the mass population, like the what's the word? The residing voice is a middle class woman's British voice, which is fine.
Mm.
But it was nice to hear one of them talk about something that wasn't their upbringing.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I thought Zoe's one was cool, because it was a different format, different structure, said something unique to her own experience.
Mm. Something that she doesn't talk about normally.
Yeah, something she doesn't talk about normally, and how she's actually experienced discrimination in a non-typical way.
Yeah.
As a business runner, that's as really a business owner, as a woman.
Yeah.
Who also looks young, looks pretty, and almost looks dainty.
Mm. Yeah. And I think this is probably a good time just to mention that we're also three, like, white, straight, middle-class women.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hello, so, we're here.
So these perspectives might be slightly familiar to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's just a lot in here that isn't our experience as well, which is always very valuable to
read and it's very and well to. Interwoven.
Yeah.
You don't end up reading three in a row and being like, oh no. Like,
yeah. It's, but I think because the remit, well, the remit for feminism is quite wide, and also the remit for this book is quite wide, I imagine they were just being like, write an essay at any length about your feelings about feminism. Yeah.
So where do you go? That, you go to your upbringing, yeah, you go
so
to your childhood.
Yeah, so it means that it doesn't really, I don't think it has a very structured weaving. Like, as a reader, you don't really feel like anyone's in control, but maybe that's okay. Maybe that's what...
It felt quite scrapbooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite
like
that.
It was like a yearbook of feminism.
And they all had different, like, formats as well. Like,
I didn't read it on paper, so maybe my experience of it, because it was read as an audiobook, also a lot of the voices were
the same.
Drama actress trained... Wait, what am I trying to say? Trained actresses, yeah. I think, seemed to do a lot of the voiceover. Their elocution's really good. They sound a lot older than the writers in the actual book.
Yeah.
And I found that, despite the fact we're alternating between four of them, I found Scarlett's voice a breath of fresh air and contributors' voices a breath of fresh air.
Should we talk about our, like, collective favourite essay?
Yeah.
Because I think we all liked the same one as our, one, which was The Weaker Sex by Keira Knightley.
Unexpected, because I don't know why. Yeah. I have read a lot of celebrity writing, and even after editing, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
So one, I was like, oh no, I love Keira Knightley, but she's probably not a great writer. And then also, I was like, oh, it's about childbirth. This is literally the thing I'm least interested in. But actually...
It was so good.
She needs to write a whole fucking novel. She's incredible.
Yeah.
And I felt everything with her, and now I have a different perspective on childbirth. What the fuck?
It's... Her essay is like written in the present tense as if it is happening, and it's all very short sentences of like, and then, and this is how I feel, and I'm now describing this.
Wasn't it written in present tense?
No, it's not.
It felt like it though.
Yeah, it's past tense, but it's like, it isn't written in the present tense. But
it's really good though.
It feels like you're moving through it.
I think it's very.
Yeah, it's like, and one thing after the other, and then this.
I was going to say rhythmic this. Almost, or like onomatopoeia. Yeah.
But she talks a lot about.
Lucy didn't English at A level.
Yeah, she talks a lot about the bodily experience of giving birth. That.
It felt very honest.
It's really quite graphic, which I really liked. And then she also talks a lot about her work.
Yeah.
With and being like a working mother and the double standards with fathers that she works with, and what's expected of them and how they're treated.
How they can check in and out of their
parental.
Also, I liked that she like really, really emphasised how much she'd watched her mum work, and that was like part of her mum work ethic, her murk ethic.
Keep trying.
I always love it. But yeah, she says, my mum worked. I was so proud of her, so proud to be her daughter. She was a writer with a voice. She walked around with bare feet and caused a scene. She was ambitious and angry, and she loved me. She could do anything. And I love that it's like, I don't know, it's just like the fact, I like that like line about bare feet, which is like an inappropriate thing to be. Like walking around with bare feet is like, oh, but she doesn't care. She's like working.
I love that so much. And I love the way you read it.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Hire me as your audiobook. I've actually been in an audiobook.
Oh my God, no way. We totally didn't have the SD card dying, and we're just reenacting this final minute of conversation. Called...
Guys, we were doing so well.
It's by Debbie Howes. It's called The Bones of You, I think.
Nice.
What do you mean?
Has that one got the one with the nice cover?
The Beauty of the End. The Beauty of the End is called. And I play a 15-year-old girl in therapy. So, hire me.
For all of your audiobook needs.
Jameela Jamil's essay is meant to be read like Jameela Jamil, but it is not read like that in the thing, and I just found it really grating.
Yeah. The Good Immigrant, they all read their own essays. It's a really good audiobook.
That's good.
Can recommend.
Really? I've read the actual book, but yeah.
I imagine, though, to get all these people in the book, they had to...
Yeah.
You know, it was like the audiobook was an extra ask.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it would not have been possible to get all these people to read. Like fully, I do not expect.
Oh my God, Keira Knightley
to be able to do that. Yeah.
But yeah, I really just want Keira Knightley to write her own fiction book.
Has she ever done any writing? No.
But like Tom Hanks has written a fiction book, and like people are starting to do it, and I'm like, I'm up for it. I'm here for it.
Right, sorry. Let's talk more about
Feminists don't wear pink and
can I have a quick look at the pages, please? So
one of my other favourite essays was by Kat Dennings.
Yes,
because
I
this one was
one.
A funny one. Mm. It was basically talking about her like worrisome mother who like would give her all of these different scenarios. Like it was commentating on the fact that women are told don't do this for our own safety. Because, like, don't go out at night, otherwise you know, will X, Y, Z will happen.
Yeah.
But basically the idea is that whatever happens, you will be kidnapped. And it's just really funny.
S is the subway. You're staying in New York. You ignore my warnings and decide to get on the subway because you think you know everything. The subway is 99% kidnappers and 1% you. 100% kidnapped.
Oh my God, amazing.
T is for taxi. You're leaving dinner in some random LA neighborhood. You hail what appears to be a taxi. You get in, give the driver your address, and because you never read the Thomas guide I bought you when you moved, you think you're going in the right direction. Wrong. He drives you into his kidnappy lair like that episode of Luther.
Oh my God. Like it's written like an anecdote as well, isn't it?
It's so funny. I loved this essay so much.
B is for V-neck. You put on a V-neck and walk down the street like an idiot. The sight of a female form excites a nearby kidnapper. Kidnapped.
Oh my God, I love it. Can I just also, can we quickly shout out our mate Akila?
Yes, Akila Hughes!
Akila's in the book. She writes a playlist for feminists in any situation.
There are some songs in that I don't know, so I'm going to have
I was
going to
say, I was like, I don't know if it's just because I am perpetually out of touch, but I was like, I literally know none of these songs, but I'm very excited.
Which songs was it? I just remember Formation or something similar.
No, it was Flawless. The Beyoncé one.
Oh,
bad.
I do know that one, I can confess.
Yeah, it's nice to see Akila in there.
You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. That's the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a very big Alanis Morissette fan.
I was going to say, if you didn't know an Alanis Morissette song, I'd be stunned, Lena. It feels like a very Lena-y thing to like.
And I did know I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, so I feel almost relevant at this point.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Point. I really enjoyed the poetry, I Don't Feel Like a Woman. Was that the one?
No, it was...
He Thinks I'm Amazing.
He Thinks I'm Amazing.
I loved He Thinks I'm Amazing. Thought it was lovely. I thought it was
Who
really
was that
interesting.
By?
That was by Emily Odessa.
And that was about, like, the male gaze?
Yeah, so it was
yeah,
like,
I really
he
that one.
Thinks I'm amazing. He wants to get with her, but he kind of is manic pixie dream girling her, and then she's like, how do I feel about that? It's a real internal exploration, and it's written really nicely.
There was one in the... Oh, I can't remember who it was by or what the name of it was. I think I must have marked it in my phone.
We are currently sitting here with two of the books. Okay. Oh my God, what about this one?
Oh,
what about this one?
So it was called Woke Woman by Gemma Arterton. And it was like fan fiction of James Bond, but written from the perspective of the woman.
I enjoyed that.
It was really cool.
I didn't read that one.
I didn't catch on to it though, because I was like, wait, did Gemma Arterton... act in this thing. I've seen her in one thing.
I'm not sure
of the D'Urbervilles. Oh my God, I saw
okay.
it with Eddie Redmayne.
So
Prime
one
feminist.
That I really liked as a like, oh, I didn't know that. I've learned something. One was actually one that was written by Scarlett.
Yeah.
Which was near the end called Baker Miller Pink. And basically there were all these science experiments done about colour And this scientist, who was called something that I've forgotten the name of, his name wasn't Baker Miller, he basically discovered that this certain shade of pink made people less aggressive and calmed them down. In 1985, Dr. Alexander Schaus, that guy.
Cool.
He began a study on the psychological and physiological responses to the colour pink. And, yeah, so it, like, reduced people's anger, aggression. It reduced, like, it just basically...
It's like green.
Physiologically calmed them down. And so as part of this study and the stuff that he did, he managed to convince the directors of a prison to paint some of the, like, the walls in the prison pink. And they... apparently, the report said, since the initiation of this procedure on the 1st of March 1979, there have been no incidents of erratic or hostile behaviour.
No.
Yeah. And so the name of this shade of pink is called Baker Miller Pink, and it's the pink that's on the front cover of the book. So I just loved that as, like, a little bit of...
Oh my god, that's great.
A little bit of science-y study, like, interesting theory. Like, it's not proven, but it's just, like, this is stuff that they've...
Consider it.
Observed. And then I also love that then the book is that colour pink as, like, a nod to, so cool. to it.
I'd also like to shout out Scarlett's maybe second essay in the book, the one about the responses to idiot men, basically.
To questions.
Mm. Yeah, response to questions, because she read it on the audiobook in... obviously the tone it was written in, and it's just hilarious. It's
like super sassy.
She does it, she goes, good question, after each one. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So, like, I think her contributions are really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed that element of it.
I loved her introduction as well. Yeah. I think, like,
it's very self-aware.
It's because I think one of the dangers when you pick up this book is kind of like, oh, she doesn't know about the other feminism. This has already been said, and actually I don't think it's about what's been said and what hasn't been said. I think it's about everybody getting to say shit. Everybody getting a voice.
It's just like, here, you've got a few pages in this book.
That's all you've got to fill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do you want to say to the world? Because, like, this book has been all over the news. It has had so much press. Like, this, you know, it's a bestseller. Like, a lot of young women and just women in general and people in general are going to read this book. So it's like, hey, here's a platform. What do you want to say with it?
Yeah. Also,
which I really like.
I think the book is designed to be picked at. It's designed that you pick it up, read a couple of essays, put it down. It's not meant to be read beginning to end necessarily if you don't want to. And I read it beginning to end, near the end. And I think I read it in the wrong way.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I feel like I didn't read it right.
Yeah, because I read it cover to cover and a few of them I've forgotten.
Mm. Yeah.
There are a few that I've, like, pointed out that I will probably revisit.
Yeah. See, for me, it's like I've been dipping in when I felt like the title or the person has grabbed me.
Yeah.
And it's been probably the best way to read it. But to be fair, it means...
Sorry, everyone.
Bless you.
Thank you.
It means that I haven't finished it, because that's... When you read books like that, they're hard to finish.
But I also don't think you're supposed to.
But I would recommend it. It's good. At the beginning of the book, Scarlett says, this book is a book of feelings that are transforming into thoughts, that are transforming into action. Most of the amazing women who have contributed to this book probably don't know much more about feminism than you do.
Yeah,
and
like
that. That's the point. Like, really, she says, like, oh, I've read all, like, Roxane Gay and Audre Lorde, and I made my way through this text, but this isn't that book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, brilliant. Like, that's, do you know what I mean? I think.
Yeah, I like that it establishes it at the beginning.
Yeah, that made me breathe out a lot. I was like, okay, cool.
Also, I think it's reassuring for the audience as well. Like, accessible. If the audience is new to feminism or relatively new, let's say, like, you're younger and you probably haven't read those texts. I haven't read those texts, but I've also...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's good for... You know, it's reassuring. It's like, hey, don't worry. Like, I'm not gonna intimidate you. And, like, you can give this as a gift to someone. And it's not, like... It's not patronising.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to give it to, like, somebody under 15, I think, would be, like, a really good age to read it.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone under 15? I don't.
Pass it forward! And I also think that it's good that they clearly gave everybody quite free rein on what they were writing, but they did organise it into categories. So the categories are epiphany, so, like, realising that feminism is a thing, anger, joy, poetry break, like it, action, education, and then further reading.
Further reading is good. I've got...
What's further reading?
It's Emma Watson.
Oh
Emma Watson, actually, talking about our...
In fairness, she's pretty educated.
Well,
she's
got Our Shared Shelf, which is like the feminist book club.
Yeah.
So for further reading, it's basically Emma Watson being like, here's some book recommendations.
Yeah.
That's great. That's so good.
Yeah. And it's like a mixture of fiction, non-fiction.
And the fact they include action as well is like, good, because there's the danger is that it can become very like...
Yeah.
Performative, aesthetic feminism, 100%. Which is and also, 0% what we need.
I want to do a big shout out to my new productivity queen, Sharmadine Reed, who was featured in this book. I found her through Emma Gannon's Control Alt Delete podcast. She's the business owner of Wah Nails and another company, like a beauty tech company, and she was just talking lots about productivity. Her essay in this book is about co-parenting, but I will basically devour anything that she is now a part of where she is talking about her spreadsheets. I need more of that.
Might listen to that on the way home, you know.
Would recommend.
You've sold it to me.
Like,
even I listen to it. And you enjoy the light productivity.
It's really quite overwhelming.
My aim is to be as unproductive as possible.
Like, I love productivity, but Sharmadine Reed seems to... She's like next level. Any final thoughts regarding feminists don't wear pink? How do we feel about the colour pink?
I love it.
Love it.
It's never really been...
That's never bothered me though.
My colour.
But is this a conversation of Generation Z that they're like, don't think the feminists wear pink? Because I've never thought that.
Some of my most androgynous female friends don't really associate pink with femininity in the same way.
Pink. I like me a Baker Miller pink.
Ooh. Would we have sex with this book?
Yeah, why
oh
not?
My
yeah.
God, it's the last time I'll ever say that.
Trying to like commission books at work, and I'm like, but guys, would we have sex with this book? Yeah. And they're like, what is this girl talking about? I'm like, out of Penguin, like, should we commission this?
What is our sound review?
I would have sex with this book, but continually ask for and look for consent. Mm-hmm. I would be.
Check they're not underage.
Very. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously, yeah, but be very aware.
This book is underage.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, okay, actually, maybe I guess not. You like this book can't consent.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah,
just shows we've been thinking about this. We've answered this question for too long.
Yeah, that's true.
We're taking it
I
too
feel
seriously.
Like it's just so respectable. I just don't want to have sex with it because I'm like, you're a very good thing as you are. You don't need me to bring you down a bit.
Also, this book would be an orgy. There are so many women in it.
This is that's true.
It'd so be a lot true. Of work. I don't think I would have sex with this book.
I would also like to point out that we definitely overthink this question now because this question was supposed to be like a, do we think this book is good or not?
Yeah.
And now we're like, the book is a person and we must consider all of its intersectional aspects.
That's true.
Of
but
pleasure.
You keep it fresh, you know, Hannah. It's been 3 years. Yeah. Well, 2.5 where we made podcasts.
But I think by also the, it's just like I don't think this podcast has been so fucking fun, and I think part of it has been everybody else reading along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Because it's been fun just us reading it, but watching everybody else's reactions and them also reading it with their friends.
Oh yeah,
has been,
I feel
like
we're in
totally...
a community. I'm Ooh. Gonna miss this so much. Yeah. Thank
but
you
we'll for... all still hang out. We just won't tell you about it.
Yeah, basically, we won't need to read like 400 pages as a prerequisite to be able to hang out as friends. Is what's
friends.
Going on
exactly?
But yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah, thank you guys.
You'll
thank
be sorely missed.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank God I've stopped pretending to be friends with you guys.
How do I turn this thing off?
Turn it off.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.